Blog Talk Radio.
Magnifying and glorifying your name, God. There is no other God but you, Lord God, and to you we live, to you, Father, we give our lives, Lord. We offer up our hearts in adoration as we come together, Lord God, on tonight, blessing your holy and righteous name. We invite the presence of your Holy Spirit to come and take over and have his way. May I decrease, O God, that you might increase, that you, O God, will be elevated, that you, Lord God, who reign supreme, that we will give you glory, honor, and praise as we magnify the name of your Son, Jesus. We come together seeking your face. Lord, I want to know your heart. I want to know your desires, Lord. And Father, again, I thank you for all that you're doing, for who you are, and for who you have fashioned us to be. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. Amen and amen. Well, good evening on tonight. I want to welcome each and every one of you to participate and to draw into the presence of God. Because without him, we can do absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I use Mondays, my off days, to go into the prison. And I visit men on death row. And today, I went into the prison and I visited two of the inmates that I normally visit. But I brought my grandson with me. He's 14. And I wanted to expose him to a part of life and a part of people who are finding themselves in difficult places. And I wanted him to see that no matter what mistakes we've made in life, that God is still in the heart of his people. And to encourage him and allow these men to let him know that you don't have to make the same mistakes. Because if you choose righteously, if you make the right choice, even in the midst of adversity, and if you love God with all your heart, he's going to be there for you. And so, as I was visiting one of the inmates, he began to talk about there was a movement within the prison, that there were a group of men calling themselves the Christian Mafia, and they were putting down every other person who didn't proclaim to be a Christian. And in my spirit, I could feel that this was definitely not of God. Because God is love. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And he didn't die for one person. He shed his blood for all mankind. And something began to rise up in me to hear that there were a group of brethren, a group of people using God's name that way, saying that if you don't belong in this particular faith or this particular club, so to speak, because that's what it was reduced to, then God doesn't have any part of you. But it is the goodness of God, the love of God, the grace of God that draws men unto himself. There's a common scripture that we recite, and I've often heard it recited incorrectly. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face." And then I often hear it overlooked or overstepped that if they turn, if we turn from our wicked ways, that we shall hear from heaven and he shall heal our land. St. Matthew, the book of Matthew, with the verses from chapter 5 and 17 reads, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Well, this man was talking about the Christian mafia. And my grandson, who was sitting there next to me, not really paying attention because he was really ready to go. But the Spirit of God came upon him. And he began to pray in his heavenly language. And I know he started out, it was kind of loud. And he turned it inwardly, and he was softly praying in his language. And then the interpretation came from within him. And God was saying, "The earth is dark. There's much darkness in the earth. But I shall cover you with my light and my love." Oh, I feel that. I feel his light and I feel his love. But then as I meditated upon what God had said, he turned it around to us, because he said that we are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We are the lights, the true sons and the true daughters of God, that even as the darkness begin to cover the earth, He's telling us to let our light shine, because His light is covering us and His love is covering us. We can look and see all the things going wrong in the world, but He already spoke it. He already told us about it. So it shouldn't take us by surprise at all. Isaiah 60 and verse 3 says, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Well, let me back up a little bit. I'm going to go to verse 1. And it reads, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." So lift up your eyes all around and know that in this hour, God is looking for our lights to shine brightly. He said that our sons and our daughters shall come from afar. But we cannot continue to let our light shine or be hidden under a bushel. It's time for the true sons and daughters to come forth and fight with our love and with our lights, so that people who are not yet strong. And what I mean by this is because he said that we who are strong must bear the infirmity of the weak. Our greatest weapon is the weapon of love. Christ said that we must even love our enemies. But we live in such an unjust system. But if we believe that there is no hope, then we too will fall to the darkness. If we believe that the light of God is not strong enough to shine and to pierce through any darkness, then we ourselves find ourselves lost. I thought about earlier today when I was having a conversation with my grandson about if it took one person, one, to come against prayer in schools. And they say that we can't change a system. One person disagreed with the assembly of prayer in school and got the laws changed where we couldn't pray. But just what if? What if the unity of the sisters and brothers in Christ. We're not afraid to stand up, not afraid to die for what they believe, wholeheartedly, wherever we go, knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us, and not be bullied by those who are working against us. Greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. We have to know who we are in God. We have to know the God that's within us and not fear and not tremble. But may there be a boldness like it was in the book of Acts that came upon the apostles, that came upon the disciples, that came upon the thousands of people who were converted, who were filled and baptized with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We are not without hope. And we are not without vision, and we are not without purpose, but we have our marching orders from the one who laid his life down for us, who said to go into all of the world, preaching and teaching and baptizing and making disciples of men. Yes, he said it. He commissioned us, and he would not send us out to go without the power of his Spirit. He said, it's expedient that I go away, when his disciples didn't want him to leave. Because if he didn't leave the comforter, the teacher, the fire, the power would not have come upon us. And then I just want to make reference to Romans chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. And it reads, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travailed in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. 24, but we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen, for the man seeth. Why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. We suffer many things in this life, but even the very earth groans with labor pains, waiting. God has commissioned us. He has appointed us. He has anointed us. Doesn't mean that we're perfect. He's just looking for an available vessel, one who will serve him, one who will worship him in spirit and in truth, one who will believe, one who will have just a grain of mustard seed of faith, one who's not afraid to go into the dark places, one who is not afraid to walk in truth. One who is not afraid to stand up and be accounted for, to fight against unrighteousness with the tools he has given us. The hour is dark, and there are those who are looking for the light. So let your light so shine before me that they may see our good works our good works of compassion, our good works of love, our good works of forgiveness, our good works of walking in the fruits and in the power of the Spirit, walking into what Jesus said are the greater works, walking into drawing men unto him. Jesus was in the synagogue, and there were those who were selling in the courtyard, selling animals so to people to go in who wanted to go in and offer up their sacrifices. And it made him angry. He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people, for every nation." That sounds good. But he said, "But you have made it a den of thieves. My house shall be called a house of prayer." He didn't leave anybody out. His arms are open, and he invites us to come. That we might partake of the tree of life. That we might come together in prayer, because there is power in prayer. And then the scripture said that he turned them away. He threw them out. He cast them out of the temple. And then the next passage of scripture says that he began to teach them daily. He taught daily. First, he cast out the thieves. And then we rob God, maybe not intentionally, but we rob him of our, not just our tithes and our offerings and our givings and our sacrifices. We rob him of being disobedient. We rob him of our time. We rob him of not putting him first. We rob him of not seeking his face for the answer. We rob him by not trusting him. We rob him in so many ways. But Jesus cast the thieves out. And when he cleansed the temple, he began to teach them daily. See, we are the temple. Our bodies are the temple of God. He's not concerned with brick and mortar. He's concerned with lives and people. He's concerned with his creation. He's concerned about his sons and his daughters, and he wants to teach us and feed us the bread of life. But he has to cleanse us that we might be able to receive. And then there were the priests and the Pharisees who were angry because he came into the temple that way, and they plotted to kill him. But they could not find any cause at that time because the people, the scripture said that they hung on to every word that he spoke. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God is talking. God is speaking. He's still loving. But the word, I'll say, is for me. to let your light shine wherever you go, whether it's in the dark places. And when you go into the darkest places, it should shine bright, brighter.
Amen.
That it may be seen among men, your good works, so that we can glorify our God in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us on tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for covering us with your love and your light as we walk this land, as this land grows darker with sin and corruption, that you're turning and firing up the light within us. Ignite the passion that we have for you, Lord, by your Spirit. I thank you for all that you're doing, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That you're walking with us, oh God. That you're keeping us, Lord. That we're teaching our children. Oh God,
yes,
thank you for using my grandson on today, Lord, who had not even read that in the Bible, but you spoke it in his spirit, by your Spirit, that you're covering us with your light and with your love.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
You said that the children shall lead us, oh God. So God, I praise you for your children, Lord. When we believe that there's a generation that is lost, God, they can be found because you tell us to train them up the way they should go. They belong to you, Father, and I bless you for it, Lord God. I bless you for your encouragement, Lord God, that will keep us moving forward and fighting for your people and fighting for your children, Lord, with your word. God, we bless you on tonight.
Yes.
Oh, God, we praise you on tonight. And we thank you, God, in the name of your loving Son, Jesus, Yeshua, Emmanuel, the Son of the living God, the eternal Christ, our friend, our brother, our King.
Yes.
Lord, we give you praise.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. We want to open up the lines for discussion. For comments. Because there's wisdom in the counsel of many. We have the answers, but it's when we come together, when we share what the Lord has said. I found out one thing, that I don't know it all, that he's given us different gifts and different talents, but we He connects the dots, and he pulls us together and draws us together to the wellsprings of life. One can chase 1,000, and two can chase 10,000. We're his army, and we will not be here forever. Pastor Hunter, are you there? Does anyone have anything they want to say? Or add?
Amen. Go ahead. What I heard is about the children. Raise up your children in the way they should go, and that's what we should do, because that word will keep them. That word will keep our children. If we raise them up in the way they should go, that word will keep them. The Bible said they won't depart. They may go, but they won't depart from that word. If we raise them up according to God's word, they won't depart from it. And so I love that, because that's what I always tell people: raise your children up in the way they should go, as according to God's word, and they won't depart from that word. So we thank you for that word tonight, because people need to hear it more and more. Raise your children up according to the word of God. That's what we need. We need more godly children, more people in their homes coming together with their children, raising their children. You know, and it's so many homes that are torn apart, and some children don't see their parents. And so parents need to take out time to talk with their children and to practice at home what you practice at church. Practice it. Practice it at home. Raise them up in the name of Jesus. Raise up your children. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. You know, one thing, another thing that happened with him, I mean, God really had me looking at him. He was talking to this inmate, and he kept calling him, yes, sir. He's saying yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, sir, and no, sir. Very polite, very mannerable. And the man said, you don't have to say sir to me. I'm like, don't stop him from saying sir. I say that's a show of respect for his elders. That's the way he was raised. That's the way he was taught.
Mm-hmm.
I said, as a matter of fact, I'm your elder, so you should be saying yes, ma'am, to me. No, ma'am, to me. It's a sign of respect. And then he said, you know, that's what he told me. My grandson told him. But that I was taught to respect my elders.
Amen.
And we're missing that now. But it's not a lost. We just have to train them and take them off of those games that they playing all the time, and put down those telephones and that texting all the time, and teach them to read a book.
Amen.
And teach them to read the scripture. Let them eat on the word. Put the word in their heart.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's they need to be taught the word at home. And that's what a lot of people are missing, because I was speaking with one young lady, and she was saying that, she said, well, my son, no, he going to go to church on Sunday. And I said, well, what you practice at church, do you practice it at home? I said, because you got to show them that kind of love, and you got to practice those things at home, not just on Sunday, but it's got to be practiced every day in the home. And that's what people should do. You know, when I was coming up, we used to have time at home where we talked to one another and we ate with one another and so forth. Now we don't have that, and a lot of respect is gone. And we're trying to get that back in the children. Get that respect back. Amen.
That's true. You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, we don't feed them once a week. They
That's
eat
right.
every day.
Amen.
And spiritual That's food right. is more important than the natural food, because
Amen.
Those are the words of life.
Amen. Amen. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's why we have so many lost young children, because nobody is paying them any attention, and they're basically on their own, like you said, on the phones and on the games, and there's no family time until maybe they go to church or some kind of function. But it needs to be practiced in the home, and the more it's practiced in the home, it's going to spill over on the outside. It shows what's on the inside. So if you practice that at home, it'll spill over out into the world. Their light will shine out into the world. So it needs to be practiced at home first. not just on Sunday. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Truly a blessing to be having this discussion tonight. And I know that there are others on the line, and others on the line that may have a comment or something, you're welcome to chime in. Teaching children is the most important thing. It is so important. And I thank God for what I learned over the years from my parents. And so that's why I try to tell others about their children. Teach them at home and begin at home and not just on Sundays, because it's going to show up. It's going to show up. If it's just on Sundays, it'll show up. And like you said, we don't feed them once a day or once a week, you know. So we need to take out the opportunity and take out that time with them and spend quality time, not just quantity time, with your children. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Pastor Hunt, are you there?
Hello?
I would like to get your perspective. Hold on a second.
Amen. I hear somebody in the background.
Yeah, I do too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so. Yeah, so.
Oh, silly.
Yeah, we're back. Oh, so they have. Think we can hear them.
Does anyone have any prayer request or anything that you want to add or anything else you want to talk about? This is your time where we can come together.
I would like to add, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to say it was a great subject. And like you're saying, train up children in the way they should go. And I feel, in my opinion, that is the true word of God. But a lot of times we as parents don't understand our role as parents. We don't understand how important it is having a mother and a father in the home.
Amen.
Because it's not really taught. And a lot of times I feel like women, when I was one, women don't understand how important for them to walk in their strength, how important it is to be in their son's life. Because we're always pushing our children over on it. We're pushing our sons to their dads, they need their fathers. A lot of single moms don't even try with their children, especially when they have sons. They pretty much don't try because they don't understand their role in their son's life. And I
Amen.
Can you all hear me? Hello?
Yes.
And I teach women, and I have four sons, and the society tell us, see, we have to understand God's way. And then what society say. And anytime you pay attention what society is pushing at us, and then look at how God does things. Because if this here, if they keep pushing it, we need to see, well, how do God say do this thing? So my thing is, women with sons need their mom. They need to feed from her womb.
Yes.
I have a book about women. And when I realized how my sons need my strength, it made me look at my children different.
Yes.
I grew closer to my sons. I was careful of the things that I say to my sons because I am a feeder. And my sons connect to me. They connect to my womb. I might be talking foreign, but I talk about this in the book. We don't understand. See, God had it where it's not about male and female. It's about connecting. It's about a spiritual connection. See, conception is a deep spiritual thing. We only see the physical. But do you know a child's sex is determined by the spirit of the person? Not by, it's the spirit that's inside of the person. Like if me being a woman, every son I have represents the strength of my spirit.
Yes.
Most people think if a woman have a lot of sons that it represents the husband. But every woman needs to know, no, every son you have represents your strength.
Amen.
The strength of the spirit. The strength of the part of you that is the, see, we are spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is the largest part of us. It's the largest part. We are more spirit than we are flesh. And your children, when the husband and wife come together, whoever has the loudest tune, whoever's spirit is the strongest at this point, it determines. So if I'm a woman and if I have the loudest tune, I conceive more sons. If it's a man, if he has the loudest tune, you conceive more daughters. Because with God, it's about the spirit. It's about a connection.
Amen.
Male feed for female, female, and dad sows into daughter. So a lot of times, single moms, my sister, she has three sons, and she was having all types of problems with her sons. And what she thinking, she was like, I can't reach him. I can't do it. I told her, I ain't going to call her name out, but I called her name, and I say, do you know you and your son share the same spirit, the same drive? So do you know that? She said, huh? I said, yeah. I said, what it is he needs you. He needs to feed from you because you all have a connection. It started in the womb. You all have a connection. I said, take time. Encourage him. I said, the male is empty inside. He doesn't have a womb like a female. So he's empty. He has to feed from your strength. I said, do you know that he's your physical strength? See, women, we need to connect to our sons. And men, we need to connect with the daughter. Because your daughter, every time you look at a man, his daughter represents his inner tuition. Everything that's about him on the inside, this is the physical representation of him. So needs the daughter needs to connect. The daughter needs the dad to feed into her. But we do it opposite in society. The woman is trying to feed into daughter. They having a fight because you got two different spirits that don't understand each other and they're fighting. Then you got the dad trying to handle the son when the son wants to feed.
Amen.
So you got this mess in the house because in society it teaches us father and son, mother and daughter. But what God teaches us is daughter and father, mother and son.
Amen.
So single women, if we understood that, if we understand, see, it's all in understanding how to approach children.
Amen.
See, when children are young, from the age of, but all this reflects back to it reflects back to salvation. God did this because of salvation. See, everything that goes on in life and family is because of salvation. We have to look at God through purpose. So every time, so when I see my son, in my mind, I got to know this boy needs to see from me. I need to talk to him. I need to speak with him. See, early on, I meant to say this. This is what I'm saying early on, children, girls and boys, have their father's mindset. I say the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So we have these boys with their dad mindset and their mom spirit. I told my sister, I said, what it is, he thinks like his dad, but his drive is from you.
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
you have these girls, they have their dad mindset and their dad spirit. So we got this strong, ferocious girl that we don't know nothing. We don't even know how to handle her. Because society is telling her she's supposed to be quiet and pretty, but her spirit and her mind is so alert and it's so strong at this point that she's
but
going all out of the way. Because
hello? Oh, I'm sorry. I was just thinking that, you know, as you're talking, that makes a lot of sense. But what
yes.
is going on when the parents don't know how to do that, when they hurt? When they need healing, when they need salvation, when they need deliverance, when they broke. It's hard to fix something when you broke yourself. And then, you know, you have so many people who are it could be generational, or maybe perhaps they don't know the Lord at that time, and he does come in and say, God, just come in the midst of. And your children are already older. You know, you haven't spoken life into them from the womb because you didn't know how to do that. Or even if you came from a Christian family, but you know, you might have seen your parents go to church, but they didn't send you to church. Or as we were talking earlier about, you only take them one day, but you don't feed them in the house. You know the word. And so if the whole family is under attack, it's not just the children. It's the mother. It's the father. The whole family needs to be healed. The parents need to be healed. And I was thinking about that because there was a time when I was just really looking for God. And I got angry because I wasn't getting the answer that I needed, the answers I was looking for. I thought God was so far away from me that I really didn't know who he was. And I was going to church and didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I got angry and I quit going to church. But I didn't. My kids love church. I didn't stop them from growing or going. But they were the ones who brought me back.
Amen.
So, and I was hurting. I mean, I had gone through a lot of things in my life, and I was slipping in depression. I didn't have nobody to rescue me.
Uh-huh.
But my children, through their love and what they knew, what they were learning,
uh-huh.
helped me. And so every situation can be different. So we just can't, you know, you have to look at it from the individual point of view. And then the book of Titus said that elder women should teach the younger women how to be wives, how to be mothers. And then men should teach the men how to be responsible. I believe everything you said about how a woman needs to feed into her son, but she also needs to show their daughters how to be graceful, how to be loving, how to grow up to be a righteous woman. It's not, I don't see a distinction mm-hmm. between two, because there's a part that the women play, but there's also a part that the men play. In the scriptures, you didn't take Abraham and Sarah. You saw Isaac hanging out with his daddy. His daddy taught him. And so, if you have a godly man or even a man that take their sons aside. I don't believe that I could teach my sons how to become men, but I can teach them how to respect women. I can teach them their part, but women think more emotionally. Men think logic, but the ingredients, they need them both.
That's right.
I agree with you. Ma'am, I agree with you. They need both. That is the truth. But if you're not aware of what you're dealing with, it doesn't matter if they have both. We got a lot of people have both. But if you don't realize, see, if a mom realized that her daughter is a mini her, see, what I'm saying is, when I realize that my daughters don't have my spirit and they don't have my mindset right now, I deal with them as an individual. I can teach my daughters better. I can relate to them better. Because a lot of times we as women, when our daughters are doing something totally opposite than what we thought, we wonder if something wrong with us. But when you are aware, see, another thing we have to be aware of, when we are born, we are born with majority of these things already on us. We are already born loaded. We're loaded with all kind of things. But if I'm aware that my kids came here, both of them, they both loaded with my shortfalls and their dad's shortfalls. But God teaches us how to deal with these shortfalls. So if I'm aware that I have to talk, I am my son's inner strength, that he needs to feed from me, I'm careful of what I say to him, how I treat him. I'm careful of my conduct around him. Because, the society keeps us thinking, the dad. But we have to realize the biggest part of my son, I didn't say he didn't need his dad. I didn't say
he
didn't need him. But the biggest part of him needs me. See, your spirit is the biggest part of you. You are more spirit than you are flesh. If you get the spirit whole, the whole body is whole. But if the spirit is weak, the body is weak. So if I'm dealing with my children's spirit, if I'm going in dealing with the part of them that's the strongest, that's the dominant, that's the part of them that decided what their physical look like, it's going to straighten out the physical. See, we keep thinking it's something we have to do instead of being obedient to the word. So if I go in knowing my responsibility as a mom, also when you say that about, okay, when you say I'm hurting and I was torn, okay, that's when we need to be taught. So that's what I say. I go around teaching women, be aware of who you are as a woman. Then I teach them how to approach their children. Like you said, they're already in this situation. But if you understand, the only reason why I didn't talk about the woman and the dad because we were talking about children. But I'm saying once you teach the parents this information, once you teach them that, then and teach them how to approach their children different. Another thing God told us in the scripture, he said the iniquity would be to the third and fourth generation. So we already know. If somebody makes me aware of this as a mom, I know one thing. With my son, okay, with me, it's here. With my son, he going to deal with pretty much some of the same things me and my husband dealt with. Then my grandchildren. See, we as parents got to be responsible because he already told us this thing goes, whatever we're dealing with, the things that we can't get loaded with, is to the third and fourth generation. Even though I may get saved and God heals me, that's going to last 1,000 generations. But he already told us, but this other part of me that wasn't healed when I came to God, and I got these children already, we got to get on top of it. So my responsibility would not only be for my children, then I know if my sons have daughters, I have to continue teaching my daughter. because this thing that is on us goes to the third and fourth generation. So once I become whole, once I become aware of myself as a woman, my strength and who God created me, I can reach my child. And that goes.
That's a key right there. That's a key right there. You just said it. That once you become whole, once we become whole, then we're able to teach. If we don't know, we can't do something we don't know. But until you become healed, until you become in a relationship with God, you know, I learned many years ago, God, I don't know how to do this. You know, there's no instructions, really.
You don't know how to what? Get in a relationship with God? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm talking about as far as being a parent. When you start out young, I mean, I was 22 when I had my first one, but that didn't mean I knew what I was doing. I just had a baby.
Of course not.
How do I raise this baby? But I had to, for me, I had to really depend on God's instructions. Like you see, I had to pray. I had to ask God for guidance and for help. And one thing that I did learn from the relationship that I had from God, like you said it, that there is a connection between a mother and her children. You can feel when they're in trouble. You know when it's time to really pray and to cover them. I mean, you know, you do it anyway. You know, you cover your children in prayer anyway when you are a godly woman, a good mother. You always, and they don't, you know, and they not released from you when they turn 18. I'm telling you, when they turn 18, you might think that, okay, they grown now. But they need you more because they are going out into this world with all this responsibility, with all this darkness, but they need to know how to stand. And you have to teach them how to stand and trust God.
Amen.
Okay, the thing about that also, see, if you look at life from the standpoint of you finna face something, then you lost already. But if you look at the things that...
Repeat that idea.
If you're looking at life, like you said, when they go in society and they're going to be faced with this and that. But, you know, the thing about that is getting yourself strong. It's not about what most of the battles we fight are things that's within ourselves. If we continue to think something out there is battling us, see, it's all in how you approach something. It's all in how you see things. Because you attract what's on you. You attract these things to you. See, you got to take full responsibility of the things you're facing in life. If we never take responsibility of the things we're dealing with in life, then we'll always seem like the victim. When you realize things are going wrong in your hands, in your home, first, you got to check self out. Then check out your mom, the way she do things. Sometimes it's simple as the way we do things or the way we think, how we approach things. Because, see, the world is already set on seed, sowing, fruit, bearing. So you're not gonna get nothing that you didn't put out. That's the way it's set up from the beginning. So we have to approach life from that point of view. Because other than that, the enemy will keep making you think it's some outside of you that's controlling what's going on. And since we're the children of Christ, we got to believe that. I had to take responsibility of things that was going on around me.
What are you saying?
I influence the environment. The environment don't influence me unless I lay weak and let it influence me.
Amen.
See, we as people got to take responsibility. Or we'll always feel like, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. Yes, you can. God already told us to let the weak say I'm strong. So we can't go from that point of view. Most of the time what we're facing it thinks. See, spirits are like animals. Anybody will tell you beasts of the field. See, our flesh is like dirt. It's dirt. And we have all kinds of spirits. When we're born, they're already crawling on us. And if I'm a certain type of way, that spirit on another person will be drawn to me.
That's right.
When you change what you put out, it changes what comes back to you.
Amen.
Most people need to know this. See, if we keep thinking it's the outside that's affecting us, we'll always be on the victim side.
You're right. But a transformed life depends, like you said, the spirit man is the most important part. And the spirit has to be connected with the spirit. I can't change myself, but I can go to the one who can. I can go to the one who can change my heart, who can change my attitude, who can make me into what he wants me to be.
Amen.
So there's nothing that I can do apart from the Spirit of God. I can't do it on my own. I don't even want to try to do it on my own.
So what are you saying you do?
No, what I'm saying is that we have to submit first. We have to submit our lives and our hearts to God. He's in control.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
he's only in control of the part when we're walking along with him.
Right.
We can't say God is controlling everything about our life when we're not walking according to his word.
Yeah. You have to walk according to his word and according to his will and according to his plan.
That's right.
And so all that you said, I did not disagree with. I don't want you to think that I was. But what I'm saying is that every situation is not the same. It's not that easy. Because when you come across people who don't know how to lift themselves up, like I said earlier, the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. And it's good that you're training people. It's good that you're going to families. And that's what we have to do. We have to encourage people. We have to let them know they can. We have to let them know that they are not defeated, but there is hope. And all they have to do is to reach up to the one who does have the answers. And it's not, I'm saying now, if I say it's me, it has to be the spirit on the inside of me, the God-given spirit that's on the inside of me, the light that's on the inside of me. See, because I need him too. I need him first. And I have to submit myself to the spirit and to the voice of the Lord. If I go out there trying to do it by myself without him, then I'm messing up not only my life, but I'm messing up somebody else's life. And I'm not willing to do that. I need to have his instruction, his direction. And sometimes when he say go, sometimes we can go out of time when he hasn't prepared the heart of somebody, and sometimes we can not go when it is time. If we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, he'll direct our path. We're the ones who make it hard. And I'm saying that without him, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm not saying I'm defeated. I'm just saying that the wisdom, all wisdom, comes from him, comes from the spirit man. And that's all I'm saying. And I appreciate your comments. They were beautiful. They were wonderful. They were inspiring. They were thoughtful. And it's something that you walk through. I can tell it's not something. It's something you live. It's something that you are. It's something that you walk through. And I know God has his hand on you. And I know you have, continue to let your light shine. Continue to touch families. Continue to teach. continue to deliver the word, continue to help set people free, because that's what he needs. That's what he's looking for, is witnesses that will go boldly declaring his word and teaching his word and showing people how to live. The greatest book that a man can ever read is the way you live.
It's
the way I live.
Amen.
It's how we present ourselves. Let's not just talk it. Let us walk. Let us be. Let us be true to us. Let us be true to God, and let's be true to others. People are tired of phony stuff. They're not looking for something that ain't real. Don't tell me if you can't walk it. Don't teach me if you can't live it. We got to live a life before people and let our light shine, that God gets the glory. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for this hour. I thank you, Lord God, for guiding us. I thank you, Lord God, for the vessels that you're using. I thank you, Lord God, for the words and the teachings, Lord God. I thank you how you're empowering your women, God, how they're rising up.
Amen.
Hold of their families and how they're teaching families, Lord God. I thank you for what you've imparted on the inside of us. It ignites something inside of me to let me know that we're not the weaker vessels, Lord God, that we're not weak at all. When we are with you, Lord God, we're strong. Your men are strong. We're calling them strong. We're calling the priest of our household strong, Lord God. And, Father, the things that have turned around for evil, Lord God, we want to take it back in the name of your son, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for empowering your army, an army of believers, an army of people who have faith in you, who you're teaching, Lord God, and that we're able to share, Lord God. I thank you for your loving kindness. I'm encouraged, Lord God, all the more, Lord, and I bless your name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can we talk?
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
I have a question. I want to put this word out there and get a response in the word that I was studying and reading. It says, I wrote it down. It says, man that is born of a woman. Man that is born of a woman. Man that is born of a woman. Question. Why aren't women on their duty board? Can I get an answer? Can we talk? Can we talk? Can we talk? Can we talk? Can anybody answer that? Can anybody help me out what I just said, please?
What did you say, doctor?
Can.
Hello? What was the question? What do you want to know the question?
Born of a woman. Men born of a woman. Men born of a woman. Question. Where are the women today beside the men? Can I get some help on that? I'm hungry.
Where are the women today?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? I'm not understanding the question.
Okay, so now the Bible says men that are born of a woman, men born of a man, but it's man born of a woman. So the question I raise, where are the women today that following that you ladies are? Anybody can talk to me. Can we talk? Can we talk?
I think women are trying to come forth. It's sometimes we as women, and myself included, sometimes we are very cautious. And also, I think the society has to start accepting the strength of a woman. And then when we were taught, we've been taught for years that a woman was supposed to be quiet, wasn't supposed to speak in church. And a lot of women, they are crying. They have a cry, which is in the book that I wrote. They have a cry. But a lot of them are afraid to come forth because even sometimes we can't let go of how we were taught women supposed to be. Even if I go home, I won't even say much if I go back where I used to live. I don't say much. And I'm letting people decide, should I speak or should I not? And now, lately, I just have gone. It takes courage, especially being a woman, to step out into your calling.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
But see, we don't realize God used women all through the Old Testament. Every time you see a man's name, when you read and it says Adam begat Seth, and you go on down the line, what we're seeing, those names represent the strength of a woman. But see, we are not taught that God is, he said, the seed of the woman. So all through the Old Testament, when you see these things, see, women, God has been looking at the woman, but she is hidden. So when we see these names, it's telling the strength. She's saying her strength, who she is. When you see that name, you're seeing her strength. She's saying who I am on the inside. But nobody teaches that because all we see is we keep seeing the male name, the male name, the male. But that is the seed of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So most women don't know that. We think this is just something new. But God has been looking at the woman. He's been letting her be seen. But God had to do it in a certain way because it was an appointed time for her showing up to be pushed forward. And I feel like it's now.
Amen.
Because he had a purpose. But he already told, he spoke it in the garden. He said, the seed of the woman. So all through the line, through the path that God walked through, the people he walked through, as he walked through, he was showing the strength of the seed of the woman. But we're not aware of it. So we don't step out.
So the woman has a seed. So the woman has a seed.
But you know, if you go on with
that,
when you go back to the first book of the Bible, when God created man and woman, and he brought Eve forth, the woman out of Adam, Adam was her covering. So when you say, well, where is the woman? Well, where is her covering? Where is the man?
Okay.
See, God created man and woman. He didn't create them to be by themselves. He created the woman to be the helpmeet for the man, not to walk behind the man, but to walk beside the man. But the man was still supposed to cover it. Even in the New Testament, Jesus said that the man should treat his wife as he treats the church. Christ is the head, the covering for the church. Man should be the covering for his family. He should be the priest in his home. And when that burden is shifted to a woman taking the responsibility that a man should have, things are out of order.
That's right.
When a man, like this woman said, that we're taught wrong. If you don't know what your duty is, your assignment and your purpose in God is, a woman supposed to help a man? Like she said, a woman is the sons or the strength of the woman, because the woman is the one who basically is the nurturer. They get their food, their life, their strength from the woman, from the moment they're born. The first thing they do is hook up a baby to the mother's breast to be fed so that their life can be sustained. Now, that's in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
But you find women, the husband, if he's out working, you're going to see the woman in her prayer closet, covering her husband, covering her children, feeding life in the spirit of those sons and of those daughters. And they are hidden. And the problem is that so many are beaten down. So many are not given their rightful place. So many are being abused. So many are being raped. So many are being tossed aside. So many are being devalued, even by their parents. When we're supposed to be building somebody up and encouraging somebody and loving them and training them. Back to that word, train up a child the way he should go. But a lot of times women find themselves in difficult places where they're being misused, misappropriated, misunderstood. They're not getting the nurturing that they need. They're supposed to be outputting and giving all this love and support and building up people. Well, who's building them up? Who's encouraging them? Well, she's building her home. If she's broken, the product of what's coming out of her is broken.
That's right.
Can we talk?
But a woman has in her. See, the thing about that is, see, that's why we have to look at God. He doesn't leave us helpless. See, you have in you. Every woman have in her. She just needs to be made aware. You have in you the strength. You are a strength. So we have a strength in us. God has built in us. When you look at Eden, the strength is built in every woman. But because we are not taught. When I talked to the, I had a girl's seminar. That is in her. It's already in her. She just got to learn how to tap into it. God did not leave us helpless. We got
it
in us, women.
That's right.
Even if you feel like you've been beat down, I didn't have the best life. But once God opened up to me who I was as a woman, that I had it in me, he already equipped me with these things, it changed the way I approach my life. That's what I keep saying. See, we got to go within ourselves. We got to look at ourselves, not outside things. The outside thing you need is the scripture.
That's right.
If you don't realize that, see, all of this is just a picture of the spirit man.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think, I'm not talking from the standpoint of someone that never been through anything. I've been through some good, sure enough stuff.
Okay.
And God showed me. I did not know the strength was within me. I teach women. They didn't know the strength was within them.
That's right. I tell
women, I say, you are the strength. See, we keep looking for the man to be the strength. No, we are the strength. We have the intuition. We have the get up and go. We got that in us. I tell the girls, I said, do you know when you born, every girl that's born, her mind and her spirit is entwined, so aware. A boy, it takes him a while. He'll be older before he catches up with his mom mindset, the mindset that goes with his spirit. But a woman is born with her father's mind and her father's spirit. Look what God did for the woman. So she got the strength mentally of a man, and she got the intuition of a woman. You don't tell me that ain't power. But because girls are not aware of it, because society keeps smashing us down like we this little delicate something, and then we just too broken to do anything. when God, he got a beautiful picture at the beginning in the Bible of everything that's in a woman. He showed it, but most of us don't even know. So until I realized, until I taught women that come and listen to me, until I taught them how strong they were on the inside, they were just like every other woman, thinking, well, I need this man, I need that man. No, a man needs you. A man needs you. The scripture didn't say he who found a good man. He said he who found a wife. He who found this strength that I have built, of this strong body that I have built, special made, who findeth her, findeth a good thing, and eat the fruit thereof. So our job as older women is to teach the younger women how to tap into that inner fruit, that inner strength God was equipped her with.
Amen.
We need to teach girls at 12. You at your, I tell young girls, well, you at the strongest point of your life. I think about, look at this. If you look at most of the president, most of them got a lot of daughters. I said, but society is not going to look at none of them. They're not going to look at their daughters. All they're going to keep looking, wondering, where's the son? But if somebody tells Sasha and Malia, President Obama's two daughters, when they were young, I said, somebody told you at your strongest point right now. If society looks at them as God sees them, and so they got their mind, they got his drive, everything about Obama mentally, they got it. Then they got his spirit. Those are two strong women, but nobody is making them aware of it.
Finally.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Can we talk?
President Carter, he had a daughter. Clinton had a daughter. Most of the presidents, a lot of daughters, a lot of strong women, but none of them, nobody is seeing their strength. So women, that's why women are just being passed by because we're not aware of this strength. I think about Henry VIII. He kept having girls. He was a strong-willed man and kept having daughters. His daughter reigned. She had the best reign in that history. We're born with it, women. We got it in us. We're not weak like people trying to make us think we are. We're strong. He did not leave us.
One of let me see if I can capsule and put on what's been teaching that has blessed my soul tremendously. The thing that I look at, and I raise this question, and I thought it was taught by the pastor some days ago, but it really registered with me. When Adam, the man, was God blew into him life, but also he blew the woman named Eve into him. As a result of that, I raised the question to many men and women. When God put Adam to sleep, did God speak to the woman, or did the man speak to God? Question I have asked many times. I believe I have a solution to it, but I want to help somebody else. Because when God, I like the way the Pastor Pittman said, and she pointed out, when God brought all the animals, two, one by one and two by two, he saw the significance of having a helpmeet. And that's where she came in the picture. So I go back and ask the same question. Question I raised right quick. We got about 6 minutes left on the line. But my question is, when God put Adam to sleep, did he speak to Adam the woman to tell him about the thing going to come? Amen.
Anybody there?
When God put Adam to sleep?
Yes.
You saying, did he speak to the woman or the man?
When you speak to the woman, speak to the man, but I don't know if God speaks to the woman.
I can't hear. Some of it. Hello?
I said, when God put Adam the man to sleep, but he took out of his rib the woman, did he begin to speak of the revelation of what's going down through time?
What scripture are you talking about?
In the Bible, when God
in
put
Genesis?
Adam to sleep. In Genesis, yes, in Genesis, when God put Adam to sleep, and when He put him to sleep, as I was saying, Pastor Kendra, when you gave a great example of what God did when putting the man and bringing, they put the man to sleep, but before he, so the question I said, what He put Adam. If God put Adam the man to sleep, and He drew out of his rib a woman, Adam the woman, because they both were called Adam versus Adam. They both named were Adam. So by the fall was when God began to speak. The question I raised, let me slow down. The question I raised was, did God speak to the woman as Adam was asleep? Was Adam the man was asleep?
I don't think we quite comprehend the question of what you're reaching for, because God was having conversation with Adam even before he brought the woman forth. He gave Adam.
But they were there together. They were there together.
No,
they were both there.
Is that what
they
you're
were
saying?
There together from the beginning? See, the help meet was not. That's where it gets thrown off. Both of them, as they stood there, they was whole. They was as one. The way we are today, when we get the Spirit of God in us, we become whole, one, just like Adam was from the beginning. So he was already male and female. He was one. God spoke to them both.
Oh, yeah, within itself. Okay, yeah, I follow that.
Yeah, so he said, when God said, I will make a help meet, remember, he's talking a spiritual thing here. So he's saying male and female would need a help meet. This is the representation of the Holy Spirit, which is coming later. The animals represented the sacrifices they did first. Then the death and burial was when he put Adam to sleep, and he woke up, and he's showing a physical representation of salvation right here. That's why he said, I stood at the beginning, declared the ending. See, from the beginning, when Adam was a whole spirit, that is the ending. That is how our ending is. So that's where the journey started, right there. So he spoke to the whole person, spoke to the womb and the outside. He talked to the whole person. Mm-hmm. So when he said, I will make a help meet, if you look at that word is another word for like God, which is the Holy Spirit, which is that part of God. So this here is a spiritual picture God trying to get us to see of salvation. What the promise was from the beginning, what he promised. See, we got to see this as God is dealing with what happened in heaven. We got to look at God through purpose. The purpose was he needed to journey through this earth to get to the judgment.
Amen. Amen. Now, one thing. Pastor Valerie, is there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm on shut down. Let y'all go ahead and finish up, and do what y'all have to do. We got some time left on the line. But I want to make known to everybody listening, I want to find Pastor Kendra. I wanted her to become, she's going to be a part of what we're doing. And we're looking at revival, revival, revival. So I'm going to talk to y'all off the phone, put y'all on this this phone I got. I can talk to six people at the same time. If that's okay with everybody, I want you to just let me know as I call you and I hook us up. Is that okay?
Yes, sir. That's fine.
Yes.
If,
yes.
Anybody else? Anybody else?
Yes.
Go ahead. What I one person on the line, I want to hear from them. And that number, I'm going to call that last numbers out. 3236. Are you there? Hello? I guess, all right. Well, I want to thank you, ladies, for encouraging me and the position I know that I've taken, because I'm the overseer of my whole family. And so I make you a vision so she can do what she does. And I want to thank you, ladies. Y'all bless me. Just don't know. I'm really happy. I'm just happy. I'm happy. If I can only get most of the men to recognize the importance of that woman in their lives.
Amen.
So, man, the day came in, I was telling him, I said, man, may I tell you with you? We were talking, praying. I prayed. I said, let me tell you something. You are a very important man. You have a movement, but the whole thing starts with that WOMAN. If you love her and keep her and treat her like Jesus said in the Word, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Another example, as Sister Kuntner was talking about. And I explained to him, I said, one of the things you can find out about your wife, if you will treat her better than a negative, treat her as a positive, you're going to see some things happen like never before in your life. And one thing I always shared with the man in prayer, well, he's my house today, I said, you're going to see blessings from God over like never before. You're going to see all the money you want that you need to do what you got to do. You're going to see positions open up what God wants you to do. And I always talk with Pastor Kenny, and you're going to have some big football players over 6 feet tall. And we can just go. Thank y'all for listening to me. God bless y'all.
God bless you as well.
Amen.
God bless you too. Pastor Hunter, we appreciate you.
Amen.
I appreciate y'all.
Okay.
Come on this line. It's hard to get men to come on the line and talk.
A wonderful evening.
Amen.
I like
Amen.
When great minds come together and the Spirit of the Lord is moving.
Yeah.
And we have to be open to that. And we have to continue to do, you know, God placed treasures, he said, hidden treasures in earthen vessels.
Amen. Amen.
And when he decides, he wants those treasures to come forth and be
Amen.
Planted
That's
in the
right.
earth.
Amen.
And to be representatives of his kingdom, ambassadors for Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
To go into those places and into those homes and uh-huh. be builders and creators of life through his
Amen.
Word. That's what we're here for.
Amen.
To become the true sons and daughters. We already are. But I like the fact that what the woman of God said is how we have to know who we are.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Because if we don't know who we are, you know, the gifts won't flow. the confidence won't flow. The strength won't flow. But you have it. And then you have to know how to use it.
Use it for good
and not for evil. Use it to, you know, love is a powerful, like I said, a powerful weapon, a powerful tool. And when we can love, even when we're hurting, even when people are misusing us, we still have to know who we are. And we have to
know
who we are in God. We have to know our purpose. And we have to know our strength. And so that was that was truly, truly a blessing. I thank you, woman of God, of bringing forth the revelation. Because, you know, Jesus asked Peter this question. He said, Peter, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say you are Elijah. Some say you John the Baptist. And he said, but Peter, who do you say that I am?
Amen.
And he said, thou art the Son of God.
Amen.
Thou art the Christ, the anointed one.
Amen.
The Son of the living God.
That's right.
And he said, Bart Jonas, man did not tell you that.
That's right.
But the Spirit of God revealed that to you.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
And he said, and Peter, upon this rock, I shall build my church.
Come on,
and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And for many years, I have been taught that because Peter means the rock, that they were talking about Peter.
Oh,
but that's
no.
not what Jesus was saying.
That's right.
He
that's
said
right.
the Spirit revealed that to you.
Amen.
And it's
Amen.
Upon the
that's
Spirit
it.
Of God
that's
that
right.
I shall build my church. Flesh and blood can't tell you nothing. You
Amen.
Have to be connected and in tune with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And that's how the church is
that's
built.
Right.
That's how people are built. It's not by might, nor by power. And I'm going to add this. It's not by our intellect. It's by the Spirit
that's
of God.
That's it.
By the Spirit of God.
By the Spirit of the living God.
Amen. Praise God.
And he told us to know one another by the Spirit.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Woman of God, would you close us out in prayer?
Me?
Yes.
You said you're talking about me? Okay. Well, I thank God for the word tonight. It's such a blessing just to be on the line with such great women. You know,
thank you, Lord.
It's just amazing. And I just enjoyed the word earlier. You know, I hate I didn't hear the first few words, but I got on here in time to hear you, and I just thank God for you. And you having the courage to step out. You know, and most times when other women see other women stepping out, it give us courage to step out.
Yeah.
And I just thank you for the opportunity to speak on your show. And let us pray. I always do the Lord's Prayer first, and then I pray because the Lord's Prayer covers everything.
Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, hallelujah, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, hallelujah, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, yes, Lord, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father God, we thank you today for another opportunity that you have came in our midst, hallelujah. How you have sat here, hallelujah, and you have encouraged our hearts. Lord, we thank you today for your life Right on the cross for us. For your love, grace, mercy, and truth. God, we thank you for revelation. How you just have revealed some things to us, Lord. Lord, you love us. You want us to make it. Lord, you said in your word, you believe, you wish above all that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. God, we believe that tonight. Lord, we believe you tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, as we go our separate ways, Lord, keep us. Hallelujah. Lord, keep us. Hallelujah. That when we meet again, hallelujah, that you'll be here. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for all things. Hallelujah. The scripture said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my spirit and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then as she was praying, I heard the Spirit say, iron sharpens iron.
Amen.
Amen.
So sharpening tonight. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Y'all be blessed.
Y'all be blessed.
You love you, lady. Bye.
Love you. All right. God is good.
Love
thank
you.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
Good
night. Night.
Mm-hmm.